Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo! Short week.
Welcome to Newsmakers, folks. This is Brent DeHart, along with my associate here, Dave Bourne, who is very happy he's working 3 days this week, and then he's going to eat for the rest of the week.
That is true fact.
And we've got some good things to take our noontime slots for Thanksgiving and the day after, so be sure to tune in anyway if you're on the road or you don't want to listen to the relatives anymore.
Well, you don't want to miss this. Thursday and Friday at noon, in place of Newsmakers, Bill O'Reilly interview with President Trump.
Wow.
For an hour.
Wow. For an hour.
For an hour.
Okay. Is it the same both days?
Yes.
Wow.
So in case you missed
the interview, Riley and Trump.
Riley and Trump.
And O'Reilly obviously thinks that he has the inside knowledge on how Trump's brain works. So it's hopefully a very insightful interview.
Well, they know each other, so it's going to be helpful.
All right, folks. Well, this is our Thanksgiving week. As I said on Friday, I'm encouraging all of you to be thanks, not cranks, and post something on social media for what you're thankful for and gratitude, and try to refrain for an entire week of posting anything that makes you mad. I think we'll all feel better all week because of that. One, we won't be thinking in terms of all this negative stuff in our society and things that we're angry about that just aren't the way that should be and so forth. And the politicians and the economy this and the weather that. Just don't post anything negative. You know what? Then you won't be focusing on the negative.
Right.
Also,
everything you're grateful for, everybody, post that.
Maybe you can challenge everybody in your social media feed to also not do it so you're not reading a bunch of negative garbage. It seems to me it just flies at you off the page when you're
You know what I do with
media.
That?
Tell me.
Negative? Unfriend. Negative? Do not follow.
Are we still friends?
I don't know. Let me check.
I try to do thankful and not.
I'm still waiting for cranky. That post of yours.
Anyway, so let's talk about. I'm in a good mood. You know what I'm thankful for today?
Okay.
I'm thankful that the Ducks were already bowl eligible. I'm telling you. I'm thankful that the Ducks.
Ooh, that was brutal.
Are already. Going to the, in my mind, the Pac-12 championship game, right?
Yes, they are.
So so the loss, they still not affect, as disappointing as it was, it doesn't affect their ability to go to the Pac-12 championship game. I didn't think they were going to go to the playoffs anyway. I don't really care. I'm one of those old farts that thinks winning the conference is what it's all about.
For us, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, not so grateful for the Beavers. Losing their opportunity to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, that was kind of...
It was a disappointing weekend for Oregon team football.
Even Blazer fans. Oof.
So...
They've lost four in a row.
So, oh, really?
Wow. Yeah.
All right, folks. This is how it goes. Your moments of thankfulness. You start each day. This is my my new routine.
Okay, so what are you thankful today?
Every day, I think, well, the Lord has granted us another day. Right?
That's true. The sun was out.
As people say, we're on the right side of the grass.
That's true.
Right?
That's a good one. I like it.
And then I just go down the list. I'm thankful I'm not one of the people in the tents. I mean, we could talk about how peeved we are that there's people in the tents in our downtown core on a sidewalk, but this week I'm going to be thankful I'm not one of the people in the tents.
That's a good one.
I got a home. I got a wife that loves me. We'll go there. Hopefully you do too, but I don't want to get into that. I live in America.
Yes.
I'm American.
Yes.
A lot of people forget, all those people that really just want to complain about everything, some people, they just forget how incredible America is. They just forget how spoiled we are, and they don't even recognize, you know, how much worse people have it in their freedoms and their safeties and their economy and their securities and the Constitution and all of these things. You're so lucky to be born in America or to now live in America.
Absolutely. I read over the weekend, Iran, I think, they're having some protests of some sort going on. 182 people died.
Wow. I don't have time for the whole story, and I may have told it a year or so ago, but I knew a man once. He lived in Salem, and he was from Romania. He grew up under Ceausescu. Right?
Wow. So, okay.
Behind the Iron Curtain, and
your laptop starts playing things.
I'm
like, what was that?
Dave, why are you making those noises?
Yeah.
All right. So he grew up under Ceausescu. He was a musician and he was a teenager, but things were so dire there and he tried to get out. And he had it better than most. His dad was a physician, so they had privileges other people didn't have. They were one of the very, very few people they knew that had a car.
Wow.
Right? And this is not the 50s, folks. This is 70s, 80s. And
sure.
And he was able to travel a little bit with his band that he played in because he was a musician. But he told me, thinking, if I knew I had to spend the rest of my life in Romania under Ceausescu, I would kill myself.
Wow.
And he literally risked his life on more than one occasion trying to get out of the country in which he was born. We don't have that here in America, because if you want to leave, you can.
Yeah.
You just leave. You know, that's really, I mean, you think about it. People are fighting to get in, not fighting to get out. If you aren't happy, you're free to go. In a lot of countries, you're not free to go.
Like China.
Like China, right?
Hence the Great Wall.
Wow. So anyway, thankful to be American. Thankful to have running water. Thankful to have a heating system. It just
electricity.
Goes down to the very basics, folks.
Phone.
I am not worried about where the next meal is coming from. It doesn't look like I'm worried about it.
No, you're not.
And
now you have an orchard.
It's just so,
so
easy.
You have food.
There we go. It is just so easy to find things to be thankful for. So it's perspective, folks.
Totally.
It is perspective this week. So we're thinking about things we're thankful for and not thanks, not cranks. Don't be so cranky. Be so cranky.
I'm very thankful for everything that I have. I feel sorry and sad for the people that are on the street and begging and intense. Some it's by choice, others not so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bashing my head sometimes trying to figure out how to help them. But sometimes, and I've learned over the years, because my brother was homeless many times, I tried to help him many times, and you can't help those that don't want it. That is what I've learned.
It's true. That is very true.
Yeah, sometimes they have to hit rock bottom. I mean, totally rock bottom, and then they have to come to, the light bulb has to come on, and they have to say, I need help.
Nobody wants to help somebody who is not helping themselves.
Right.
Right. That just burns bridges. So that's a great life perspective, Dave Bourne. I appreciate that. Anyway, so you brought me down there for a second.
Sorry.
A lot of great things.
Perspective.
To live in the mid-Willamette Valley, live in Oregon, as much as we complain about it now again, the fact that we have a right to vote and change things, folks. And if you're not registered to vote, please go do that, because we're going to need you in May.
Absolutely.
We're going to need you in May to affect some changes. Coming up now, I want to talk about some Polk County law enforcement types. I don't know. It just struck me as funny to see them in a preschool reading these little tiny books. But they're promoting preschool in Polk County as a way of preventing crime.
Hmm.
You got to invest in it early. And, of course, anyway, I think it's a great thing. Let's talk about it. It's great and it's funny.
Okay.
All right. So let's take a quick break and come back. Folks, this is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you're listening to Newsmakers, your local talk in the Mid-Valley about things that are important to you. On 1430 KYKN, Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
And welcome back, folks. This is Monday. We're going to be here Monday and Tuesday. And, of course, Wednesday will be with Denise. So I'm going to try to keep it positive these first couple
Good.
Of days.
Thank
I hope,
you.
I think a lot of people are taking short days and taking a little more family time this week in the newspaper. So we had an article on this Marion County teen. She launches a dress giveaway. And this is in the Salem Business Journal, actually. Okay. And you can see it around town. The Business Journal is nice to keep up with things, especially in the professional sphere here in town. And the article has this young woman, and she is advocating to help get dresses for young women who can't afford to go to prom.
That's always a good one.
Yeah, the title of the article, the headline is that she's launching a dress giveaway, and she was a bullied teen over in Sayo, and she's a pageant competitor now, so she's Teen Oregon, and she wants to help people, because she, growing up in one, she was bullied in middle school.
Okay.
And so she says, I want to do this for teen girls because of what I've personally experienced and what I've seen. I know what it's like to not have the right clothes or feel like I can't attend an event because I won't fit in. And I've been told by several girls that they don't go to prom because they can't afford a dress and feel they'll be teased or if they wear what they have. So anyway, if you want to check it out, check out the Salem Business Journal. We don't mention the Business Journal often enough, but it's a feel-good story. And it's nice that she's stepping up. I want to make a difference. It's so many big issues of the day when we're talking about economy or politics or homelessness and all this and wars. It's just nice to have someone say, this is an impact in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a deal for youth, especially female youth in our area. And we're talking about mental health and feeling good about yourself. And so if she can find, yeah, they wear those dresses like once.
Right.
And it's cost a lot of money. A lot of people.
Dresses are amazingly expensive.
Guys just, rent a tux or a suit or something. Well, and it's like, an expense, but not like these dresses and the girls. And,
well, the girls, too, they can rent the dresses.
Can they?
Yeah. You can rent a dress. You don't have to necessarily buy one, right?
Anyway, it's a nice initiative.
If we can rent a tux, why can't they rent a dress?
It's been a long time since I went to prom, so
what
do I know?
Me too. Granted, yes.
So anyway, gosh, I didn't even mention her name. It's Michaela Wood. Michaela Wood.
Good for you, Michaela.
Good for you. Thanks for what you're doing there. Thanks to the State's Salem Business Journal for covering it. This is the issue that has TJ Sullivan's beautiful face right on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
TJ has filled in as host for this show a number of times, and he stepped up. I don't know if you heard, but we had a turnover in the leadership at the Salem Area Chamber. So Bruce Anderson of PGE, Northwest Natural, he took a position with the Republican office at the Capitol. And so because of his change, and it's more political in nature, he felt he needed to step away from his term as president of the chamber, which is a voluntary position for a year, right? Well, TJ Sullivan of Huggins Insurance has just finished his term. He just served a year as president, and he stepped up to serve the remainder of Bruce's year. So he's going to do a little double duty. Thank you, TJ.
Especially since he was talking about leaving.
Yeah.
When we were talking about it, when he was here, I said, it's kind of like the mafia. They keep, just when you thought you got out, they suck you back in.
So
it's kind of like that. For no pay.
Yeah, and there he is. So it's always fun when you're serving as president and past president at the same time.
Right.
That's funny. Okay. All right, where to go to next? This is one I like. It's really important. Tourist visits. It's also in the Salem Reporter. SalemReporter.com. Folks, go get your subscription. We hear all the time about local, and we hear from the Salem Reporter, local jurisdictions, local cities and counties, they're losing their ability to have press.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's specific to them. And we've worried about the Statesman Journal for a long time and if they're going to be viable. And then Gannett has emerged, and it's certainly not the paper it used to be. And if we really want this in place, go spend, what is it, $10? $15 a month? $10 a month, and you get this great reporting. All right, enough of that commercial. Angie Onyewuchi, that's a lot of vowels. I love her. She does a great job. She's at Travel Salem, and she was speaking recently about how the area is MOPO, they call it. MOPO, most Oregon part of Oregon. It's the most Oregon part of Oregon, the Mid-Valley here.
Oh,
Salem,
wow.
The Mid-Valley. So, but the article has to do with the financial and economic impact of tourism. It is huge. They get 40,000 people They're on State Street. They're in the old Capitol. We just got the Capitol Center. I think it's still called our skyscraper. They have 40,000 people.
Six floors.
Yeah. I think it's eight.
eight.
Anyway, they have 40,000 people walk in there and ask about the area. They're the ones that market the area. The people will come here and spend their dollars. Here's the thing about tourism. We haven't talked about economic development for a while, but tourism, I would describe as a traded sector job, and that's economic development speak, traded sector, meaning money comes here and doesn't go out. It stays
right.
here.
It stays
right?
here. Yeah.
So when you produce something, let's say you produce an agricultural good and you ship it in containers to the Pacific Rim and the money comes here. It's traded sector. You're trading those goods and the money comes in the Mid-Valley, and that's how you build wealth in a region, by having outside money collect here. So tourism is huge. Everybody from countries like Egypt and counties like Napa have figured this out, that they're key to having a thriving economy where everybody is benefiting from the people who are selling the goods to the people who are selling them the car or the TV or the haircut. All benefit by having traded sector external dollars coming into the region. So the speech had to do with highlighting how many visitors come. 2.5 million traveled to the Salem area. So 2.5 million, that they count them because they count how many nights are stayed in regional and local hotels. Because those get taxed, of course.
Of course.
So, you know, you look at Travel Salem, they see that every dollar that's the city of Salem, we have to keep this in mind when you're talking about budget cuts and what should be supported. $1 that gets goes funding Travel Salem creates another $3.66 from other sources. Right? So people come, they stay here, they eat here, they drink here, they rent their cars potentially and things like that, and leave behind a lot of money in the Mid-Valley, including, of course, the wine area. So great job, Angie. And really important that we all recognize how important tourism is and that we could do a lot better at it.
Especially really. With Fly Salem.
Yes. Oh, funny you should think of that. So
you did say you were going to have an update for us.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like last week, I think.
All right. So Fly Salem, you want to read all about it, you go to flysle.com. That is the website for the effort. The
link on our KYKN.com fly, as well.
Flysle.com. So a couple of weeks ago, I traveled all the way to Orlando to meet with some airlines.
Tough gig.
Did we talk about that? I never got to play. I went from the international airport to the hotel and inside talking to people the whole time.
So what looks good?
Still, looking good is to attract a regional carrier like SkyWest Airlines that flies on behalf of the big airlines. Right. The goal in this community initiative has always been major carrier, major hub.
Right.
United, American, Alaska. It won't be Delta. You know, something, a major carrier to a hub that connects Salem to the entire world. Right. Not necessarily, hey, we're just going to go to, like 10 years ago, it was Salt Lake City. It's Salt Lake City is the hub to get to the Southwest, to get to Europe, to get to the East Coast. And anyway, major carrier, major hub. And the most likely scenario is for us to be flying on a small regional jet, 50 seats, maybe 70, but probably a 50-seat regional jet that pops us to a hub where we can connect. Or maybe we're going to San Francisco to see the Giants play or the 49ers play.
Right.
Or to visit the wine country down there or San Francisco and so forth. All right, so major carrier, major hub, SkyWest has a lot of interest. We have very good demographics. So here's the components. We need the numbers. We've got those. We have enough people. We need the economy. We have that. We have a stronger growing economy than average on the West Coast. Our region is growing faster than the average on the West Coast in population and in economy.
Mm-hmm.
And we have nearly 600,000 people that we think we'll draw from, and they're buying enough tickets to make this work. So numbers are in place, check mark. That just leaves it then to, we need an incentive package that exceeds what everybody else is putting on the table, because The part that people miss is, well, we have the demographics. We've got the numbers. Why don't they just come? And the answer is, if you're the recruiter, you have to put some incentives in place.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's the Ducks doing a 4-star athlete, and they have to offer a scholarship because Oklahoma offered them a scholarship, right? SC will offer them a scholarship. They can't come with no incentive package. We're competing against dozens, if not scores, of communities across the nation that get a lot of local government, county, city help in doing this and so forth. They're at it full speed, full time, and we're using a community group to do this.
Right.
So the resources and so forth. We have to have an incentive package. We have to have a travel budget. That's in place, check mark. So the travel budget has been put in place by the awarding of a grant from the Oregon Department of Aviation. So there's nearly $300,000 to promote this and spread awareness and usage. So we have a great launch when the new route comes. And the city's doing its part and having proposing fee waivers to lower the operating costs during the first couple of years of startup.
Good point.
And our community fund is called an MRG, a minimum revenue guarantee. Frankly, it's a slush fund. It's a fund that's put in place so that if all of our numbers are wrong and they do not achieve the revenue we think they will during the first 2 years, they'll be able to draw from this fund to make them somewhat at less of a loss, right? It's not going to make them whole with the investment of a startup. The problem we're running into is two things. One, there's more risk in coming to Salem, Oregon, and launching new service where there is none. Then there is going to Tri-Cities or Bend, right, or Medford, and adding a flight where
True.
There already is some. And yeah. People are already conditioned to fly out of Medford. They're already conditioned to fly out of Redmond Bend. They're familiar with it. So it's easier for people to change habits if they're opening up either a new route or an additional aircraft, right? Just more capacity, the same. So that's less risk for the airlines. That's why we have to mitigate that risk.
Right.
The great news is SkyWest is very interested in us. You know, they could potentially go east to Denver with a United flight number. They could potentially go south to San Francisco with a United flight number. And both of those things, we'd be able to connect to over 100 cities. We'd be one stop to over 100 cities right out of Salem McNary Field.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, and they have a lot of interest. They did say, hey, let's talk by the end of the month, which is coming up, you know, just in 5 days. So hopefully we'll talk by the end of the month and see if this might be on the agenda for 2020.
Nice.
Right? More information, flysle.com. Do that. And folks, we're not going to get there without the rest of you pitching in, contributing to the MRG. I know it's hard to explain on the radio, so just go to the website and explain it. Basically, we're going to put a minimum revenue. We're going to guarantee it to the airlines to help them decide that we're going to come because the community's behind it. If you're a business that does any business travel at all, you should be participating in this. Thing is, if we fly these seats and we don't, and they achieve the minimum revenue, we all get our money back. It's that kind of like set aside in a just in case fund.
Nice.
And it's not a gift, folks. It's not a donation. It's not a tax. It's an investment. And when all of us jump in and we make this thing a reality and we support the air service, two things are going to happen. One, we're all going to get our money back.
Mm-hmm.
Because they won't need it because we filled the seats. And two, they're going to give us the next city. That's the thing that's going to happen.
Nice.
So if it's San Francisco and you really wanted Seattle, then you got to support San Francisco so that Horizon and Alaska take note. And I go, oh, wait a minute. We don't want to lose market share in the Mid-Valley. That is how we're going to recruit it. Because, folks, let's go out and get Seattle, San Francisco, San Francisco Bay Area, L.A. Basin, and Denver. Let's get them all in the next 5 years. Let's go for it. All right, we got to take a break. We're going a little bit long. More local stories to follow on Newsmakers with Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Kansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Thank you, Rich. Welcome back to Monday. Monday.
All right, folks. This is fun stuff. I love this. And unfortunately, this is radio, and you can't see what I'm seeing unless you go to the Salem Reporter. And I know you're wondering this, but no, I have no financial interest in Salem Reporter. I just like local journalism that's this good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be subject to Gannett or CNN or Fox to tell me what's going on in my own community. I don't know. Anyway, we got to give them the resources. So, all right, this is funny, though. So it's the picture to me is funny. The subject is serious. So in Polk County, you have law enforcement officers stumping, trying to draw attention to the need for and promote funding for preschool. Preschool, learning to read in Polk County. Young kids, right?
Okay.
The part that I find amusing is the picture. So it's Polk County Sheriff Mark Garten, and we've had him on the show a number of times. District Attorney Aaron Felton, the police chief from Independence, that's Robert Mason, and Monmouth's police chief, Daryl Talent. And so the picture is the four of them reading these children's books to preschoolers. So as you can imagine, there are more pictures than there are words. And these four gentlemen in suit and tie and in uniforms with, you know, big stars on their chest and something. And these little tiny kids, I don't know. It just, they must seem bigger than life to those kids.
How did they get all four of them in the same room at the same time?
Yeah. And good scheduling. And it's important to them. And it's a priority. And this is one of the things where we plan for the future, and where a pound of prevention is worth a ton, So you have a better start for our youth, so they can get a head start and they learn to read, and everything else can kind of fall in place if they start with a healthy base of foundational education. And it's true, folks, if we're talking about preschool, if we're talking about high school and everything in between, good education means less crime. Good education means less people fall victim to drugs. Good education means less, more people see opportunity, and be less crime, less drug use, less need for social services, and far less need for jails. So it's great that they're not just going to work and dealing with what is the crime of the day,
mm-hmm.
but they're also sending a message to the state and to the community that, hey, put some resources in the young kids so we don't end up arresting them and prosecuting them later. And as you know, I'm married to an early childhood educator, and I'm a big believer in this, a huge believer. And I mean, we read an article recently we were talking about here on Newsmakers about a new principal at a school trying to raise the standards, and how now a full third of them, one third, are passing the tests instead of one tenth.
Nice.
So it's great that you've tripled the number of people, but it's still 7 out of 10 are not up to grade level in reading and in math. 7 out of 10 are not. So you got to watch your statistics. He's doing fantastic. We want to celebrate that direction, but it's still a failing school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's still a failing school, but good things are happening. So grow that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what you can do for their self-esteem more than educating them and making them capable and competent moving into adulthood. So, all right. So the sheriffs, hey, thanks for being out there. District attorney. And the message is that they're trying to fight crime ahead of time. So they are looking at $2 billion that we've been talking about spent on education in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That may include $400 million for preschool and early childhood education programs. So they say about over 5,000 more kids will be able to go to preschool. And you wouldn't think the preschool should be an obstacle, really. I mean, it's expensive if you're paying for it, but, you know, we do have Head Start and a number of other programs, but it's not enough. So apparently there's about 20,000 Oregon kids who are preschool age that don't have an opportunity to go.
What?
So the
Okay.
Yeah. The initiative is called Fight Crime, Invest in Kids. So it's a national organization. The four of these gentlemen have signed on to this, steer them to a more productive future. Because if you have a good early childhood education, it raises the likelihoods you're going to graduate from high school.
Did for me.
Raises the child.
I went to preschool. Right. I don't remember it being an issue, preschool.
I don't either. I have this is a DeHart family story. My mother told me this once, well into adulthood. She said, you know, when you went to kindergarten, you could read already, but we don't remember teaching you.
Wow.
Of course, I had, you know, three older siblings, and maybe they were reading books. I have no recollection of it, other than the teacher was a little dismayed because I was ahead. And this is kind of funny in terms of how people's egos and ideas on education. They basically told my parents to stay out of educating me, that was their job.
Okay.
Because she didn't know what to do with me. I'm arriving in kindergarten, and I'm already reading.
Okay, I remember kindergarten very well, because we took naps. A lot of naps.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The folding, the infamous.
But I don't remember
mats.
Preschool.
I don't either.
I don't think I learned. Now that I think about it, I don't think I actually went to preschool.
So some kids.
Mom read to me a lot.
Well, that's really important. And some kids are arriving at kindergarten in Salem Kaiser here, mm-hmm. and they have some knowledge of words and, you know, some very basic learning. At least they're supposed to be able to recognize all the letters and numbers in upper and lower case kind of thing. They're supposed to have a good foundation. Some people can't recognize, and I read this in the article about Salem Kaiser as well. They're coming in, and maybe they can recognize two letters in their own names.
Hmm.
Right? And so they're behind. So the kindergarten teacher, how do you get them up to speed?
Right.
You know, and the question is, if you're coming into kindergarten and first grade behind, what does it take in resources to get you out of fifth grade on track? You can't just stay on the same path and the same growth. You have to accelerate that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a challenge. So lest I forget and neglect to mention, Mayor John McArdle was also there. He's the mayor of Independence. I think he's been the mayor pretty much since birth.
wow.
Just kidding, John. Mayor John, we got to have you on. But I think he's got elected in 2000 or something like that. He's been a while, been a long time, and a lot of great things happening in Independence. So if you haven't been out there, come out for dinner or whatever, see the new hotel, see the new riverfront apartments are going up.
Mm.
Right on the river, right next to the apartments, between apartments and City Hall. There's kind of a picture of it on the banner where the construction fence is up and such, and it's going to be amazing. That has
been
a
while.
More riverfront lodging than we even see in Salem.
That's scary.
Because there's already, I don't know how many units north of downtown, but right there in the heart of downtown, it's going to be a number of 120, 140 sticks in my head, new luxury apartments.
Nice.
In addition to some condos. So a lot of good things happening in Independence, including promoting reading.
That's good.
Anyway,
it's not a bad thing.
Pretty cool. Better pay for preschool teachers. More kindergarten, more kids going to preschool and so forth. So check out the picture. Thanks to the police chiefs and the district attorneys for promoting that and being proactive about it. We have such a reactive culture, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, before we go to break, we were talking about this last week about the picketing or the demonstrations at the governor's office.
Yes.
And had to do with Jordan Cove and the climate and the natural gas pipeline that was proposed. And there, the federal part of permitting and such, that's been approved. So that's been approved.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So the conflict there, and it is there is some ability for the state to say yes or no, right? And so that's why they're petitioning and the governor to try to stop this thing. And I guess the Trump administration has tried to streamline the proposal of all these pipeline things because they're always controversial.
Right.
So to kind of take away the state ability to certify these if it's been approved by the feds and trying to use the Clean Water Act to do that. Mm. And, you know, we saw what happened. Was it North Dakota, South Dakota, and that pipeline, and now here in Oregon, natural gas pipeline. And let me see if I can. Well, let's take this up after the break, and I'll find a quote about what the feds say the impact of this pipeline might be. Stick with us. This is Brent and Dave on 1430 KYKN.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. Speaking of learning,
Indeed. We're talking about preschoolers and the sheriffs and district attorneys reading to the preschools in a demonstration of how important it is for them. 40%, I was reading this during the break, 40% of the people in prison do not have a high school diploma.
Mm.
And this is why it's important, folks. 40% don't have a high school diploma, and good preschool prevents crime, strengthens communities, and keeps people out of jail, said District Attorney Felton. All right, moving on. We talked about this last week. I just want to update you on the pipeline, Jordan Cove. It's southern Oregon, but it's important to Oregon. And, of course, it became a local issue when they were demonstrating and getting arrested in the governor's ceremony office last week. And just want an update, States and Journal, folks, in case you want to check it out. But basically, when the federal portion of it's concluded, and the feds have concluded that it's not going to be a significant negative impact, and basically to green light it. So a quote from the feds in the permitting process is, as a result of our technical review of the preliminary engineering and recommended mitigation, we believe the facility design that by the proposed Jordan Cove includes acceptable layers of protection and safeguards and blah, blah, blah. So to reduce a potentially hazardous scenario and so forth. So they think it is acceptable and the protections are in place. Minimal impact, minimal risk to any hazard. So they had some additional requirements of them to contain any possibility of leaks and so forth. So it's probably not going to placate these people. They just don't want to see it happen. What will it mean for Oregon people is that liquefied natural gas will be able to be piped through from the Klamath Basin to Coos Bay area and then be shipped off to Asia and the Asian market. Didn't we just talk about traded sector economics?
Yes, we were.
That's money coming from across the ocean into Oregon. Of course, also to the Canadian firm that's building the pipeline, but for the exploration and extraction of natural gas. And they're going to have to give me an argument more than, well, we shouldn't be burning fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you think the Chinese are not going to burn fossil fuels? Or because you don't do this? Or are they just going to buy it from somebody else?
They'll buy it from someone else.
Yeah. We cannot turn off the spigot from the world and have the world just suddenly decide they're going to power their power plants with wind turbines and, I don't know, hydropower and dams and I don't know. Anyway, it'd be great.
Yeah.
It'd be great for Oregon to have more money come into the state. And maybe you can fund that preschool thing we're talking about.
There you go.
More reading and so forth.
We were talking about those protesters on Friday too, right?
Yeah. How many were arrested, Dave?
21 were arrested.
Wow.
Because they refused to leave the governor's, what do you call it?
It's an office.
Satellite office?
It's the ceremony office.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's at the Capitol, I'm presuming, right?
It was.
Yeah. So if you've done a tour of the Capitol, you've probably seen it. It's the big desk and the pictures of the governors around and so forth. But it's not where the governors typically work. It's not where they work.
Because it's, you know, more for photographs.
Okay. And it's Thanksgiving. So I got a suggestion for everybody as we finish up our hour.
Okay.
Relatives are coming to town. Travel safely, by the way. Snow, potentially.
Thankfully, not mine. Yeah.
So relatives are coming to town for a lot of
families. Over the passes, Cascades. Yeah.
Over the rivers, through the woods.
Yeah.
And take the opportunity, if it's not Thanksgiving, it's Christmas, to start doing some planning, people. Recently in my life, in my sphere, we had somebody pass away very suddenly. And 10 people's livelihoods depended on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And the family was not prepared. I take that back. The family was probably well prepared in terms of having all the planning done, but emotionally prepared because there was no prolonged illness and so forth. So whatever it is, ask mom and dad what their plans are. If you're the mom and dad, ask the kids if they're doing their financial planning, if they have a will, especially if they have your grandkids. Make the uncomfortable talk happen.
Right.
One good way to break the ice, and I've seen these. I don't know if a local bookstore has it, or maybe you can get it on Amazon overnight. They have these grandfather and grandmother books.
It says,
in my life, and you get to answer some things but you get to answer the important things. What happens when? What happens when? And that way, mom and dad, grandma and grandpa can answer those questions for you ahead of time, in their own words, before something happens that you weren't expecting it to happen so quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens to younger people as well. So it's always a great idea. We've had estate planning attorneys here. If you have a kid, if you have a spouse and you don't have a will, you need to do something about it. Have the uncomfortable talk, maybe after one glass of wine, but not three glasses of wine. That might be
good point,
right? So as you're watching Thanksgiving weekend football and feasting and whatever, have the uncomfortable conversation and talk about planning, because we're all going to go, folks. The question is, are we going to put in place what we want before we go? And are we want to control what happens and have a say in it before we can't have a say in it?
Mm.
So in all regards, in Thanksgiving, you're going to see family. You can keep it joyful. But because you love them, make sure everyone knows your wishes. Make sure you know your loved one's wishes. Is that good advice?
Good. Because I still don't have a will.
Uh-oh. We got to do something about
that. I know, right?
Yeah.
And as many surgeries as my wife and I have had, you know, probably should have had something in place.
You're running out of things to cut out. So, you need to, because without a will, and maybe we should re-air the interview we did with an estate planning attorney and do it again. But without a will, then the state gets to decide what happens to your car.
I don't want that to
happen. The state,
No, they can't have my car.
And you don't want to wait for a judge that works for the state to decide what happens.
Although the
to
wife
your stuff.
Did make it clear that the car was my casket, so
we're going to have to dig a big hole for Eagle.
No, she was going to crush the car with me in it.
that's charming.
To a coffin size cube.
Nothing but romance in your life.
No.
All right, one last thing in the news I wanted to hit, because we've talked about this on Newsmakers before. The public employee unions,
yes.
And how the new initiative, the new court case just a year old, has determined that you don't have to be a member of the union to work, that you have the right. Well, the unions are reporting double-digit losses in membership, which we knew in talking here on Newsmakers. And however, they say they're trying to, you know, gain back some of that ground and so forth. So
by strong arm or what?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because, you know. That's the only way they're going to get it.
Yeah. So Supreme Court, that was June of 2018, Janus versus AFSCME. AFSCME, that another acronym for government worker union.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that's of interest, and we're going to continue to watch that, and maybe we can get some of the leadership back on the show. But some news there of note to watch. Hey, let's do this again tomorrow. We're going to do some more thankfulness. If you want to call in and tell us what you're thankful for, let's do that tomorrow. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne. Thanks for joining us on Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN.
You know we're going to have the mayor tomorrow, too.
And the mayor can tell us about how thankful he is to be mayor.
There you go. See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.